You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
TGIF, everybody. Thank God it's football season. We had the Hall of Fame game last night, so a little bit of action. Steve Gill along with Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long on this Friday, bring it till 7 o'clock this evening, an off day for the black and gold. So definitely haven't sweat so much, Jeff, and feeling refreshed going into today's show.
Yeah, I went for a run just to sweat because I was like, oh, this is weird. I haven't sweat out like 3 pounds of water, so I got to get out in the sun. But no, it's weird having an off day on just a regular day. That's why training camp is strange, because it's like practice, practice, practice.
Throws off
no practice and all, but it's like it's still a day.
Yeah.
And then practice Saturday, Sunday. But no, I do appreciate, and this is kind of like inside baseball a little bit, but the way, how much thought went into the creation of this training camp schedule, because it's not like, oh, let's just have an off day here, let's have an off day here. Like, you know, just for an example, they had the first two padded, so they had the first padded practice
Monday,
then an off day,
right?
Or then like the light day, the walkthrough day, and then they had two padded practices in a row. The first one was outside, the second one was a closed practice and inside. And the reason for that was because, hey, we had two padded practices this week out in the sun, we've had a lot of outdoor practices, let's give them a lighter practice indoors. So, you know, and you could see yesterday the energy was through the roof. Like, it was a great call. Like, it's just every decision is so intentional, and like there's a reason for everything. And even just having the day off today, like you had three padded practices this week. Yeah, okay, day off. You know, we'll get back after it Saturday, Sunday with two more padded practices. And I just think the attention to detail is very refreshing. And we've heard players talk about it. Like, this isn't just me. Basically, every player who's got up to the podium has talked about how much they appreciate the program and the, you know, focus on efficiency and rest and recovery, and everyone feels great.
The focus on rest and recovery has definitely been boasted a lot from the players. They're liking this a lot, what Kellen Moore and staff have instituted.
Yeah, and everyone usually talks about how great they feel in training camp, but not, you know, it's like everyone who gets up there's like, this is the best I've ever felt since high school or something like that. So, no, and we've seen very limited injury issues, and we have had a couple this week.
Right.
Juwan Johnson is the biggest concern, but he's dealing with a groin issue. He was back out at practice in a limited capacity. So that's a really good sign for him.
Right. It's not like we don't see him. So it's like, okay, we don't even know if he's close to getting back on the field. At least he was out there in the indoor facility yesterday in limited action.
Right. If he wasn't out there, it would have just been alarm bells because that's that position on this team. You know, when you consider Taysom Hill, Foster Moreau aren't there, it's one of the thinnest I've ever seen it. You have one guy and then... You know, I mean, as much as I like me some Jack Stoll, I don't want T1 Jack Stoll, right? I don't want Jack Stoll to be my only pass-catching option or Michael Jacobson. Like, that gets thin real fast. So, yeah, he is probably the one player on this team, barring any moves, that they cannot afford to be without.
One thing that was interesting yesterday, you're going through attendance, checking off things on our roster sheet. Hunter Decker is no longer with the squad. He was waived, but the team did fill that spot with another punter. So we have one, two, three punters on this Saints roster right now. A little bit odd.
Kai Kroger. Which got to be feel weird for Kai Kroger to be wearing a Rouse's patch on his jersey. Yeah, I mean, it's spelled differently. So, you know, he's not heir to the Kroger fortune. But, it's Hunter Decker's. It's got to feel... It can't feel good to get cut.
Right, I got cut for a punter?
Not just for a punter, for a third. For a third punter. It's like getting laid off from work so they can afford to buy a new copier. Like, it's not a good feeling. Either way, like, I appreciate Hunter. You know, I think he's a guy who's going to keep working around. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the UFL, something like that, and kind of bounce around some rosters, some practice squads. I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up on the Saints practice squad down the line if they want to get a fourth quarterback into the mix who kind of knows the offense to some degree. But no, the punter decision, you know, there's been two players added this week. You have Jonathan Mendoza, who was a teammate of Tyler Shuck.
He can't miss him.
At Louisville, he's 6'9". He's gigantic. And then Kai Kroger, who was a teammate of Spencer Rattler at South Carolina. So, you know, I don't think that's why you signed them, but, it, you know, it probably doesn't hurt to have some familiarity with the two most important players on the offense, right?
You used to have familiarity with Jordan Mims with Kaner, but he's the guy left out now with no Fresno State connection.
Right. He used to be all Fresno State. We used to have Fresno State up the wazoo, and now it's, you know, maybe they can go find Jordan again. Maybe we can find another former Bulldog. Maybe they can hire Lorenzo Neal to the staff, and that'll be it.
Did you get to watch the Hall of Fame game at all last night?
You know, I turned it on for a solid 45 seconds.
Wow.
And then, you know, I was like, football, baby. I'm going to take the night off. but it was good to see it out there. It was good to see that football as a sport still exists. You know, I know the Trey Lance got, like, more passes in that game than he has in his entire career. So
yeah, now
good for him.
Some NFL analysts are like, oh, teams are QB thirsty, there you might make a trade now with the Chargers for Trey Lance, and I was like, just pump the brakes a little bit,
maybe,
there, folks,
maybe,
please.
Yeah, no, I don't about that. I mean, he was the number 3 overall pick, and we talk about him like, you know, no chance at all. I mean, the Cowboys kind of just put him out the pasture. They were like, yeah, Joe Milton, let's try him instead. But no, how about you? Were you a masochist and watched that?
I was definitely engrossed in it until halftime, and then I kind of had it on in the background while I was doing other things around the house.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I was good for a good half with it.
Yeah, the kickoff isn't new anymore. Like, that's why I watched that game last year. It was because it was like, oh, let's see how kickoff looks
what
the
What I laughed about, too, and I think you might have retweeted this, the virtual replay where they went for the measurement. Why is this needed?
You're gonna send me on a rant here.
Oh no!
The NFL is fixing a problem that did not exist with this virtual replay, just nonsense. Like, one of the most dramatic things in football is when it's like a close measurement and you get the chain gang and they run out there and it's like they have to stretch out that last link and they put it down. And you're like, oh, you know, and you just get rid of that and like, hey, let's look at the screen. Oh, look at that cute little animation they got up there. And here's the thing. I had a couple of people when I tweeted, like, this is a problem that does not exist. They're like, oh, the Bills probably disagree with you. And it's like, that's not going to fix the problem from that Bills game, which was the refs couldn't spot the ball correctly. The refs still have to spot the ball. Right. That's not going to fix that you have a human being who has to, you know, use x-ray vision to see where the ball is at the bottom of the pile and put it wherever it makes sense. He's still doing that. All this is doing is replacing those three guys who stand on the sideline and get super excited to run out there and put the thing that's the only thing it's changing. And I don't think it's going to be any faster because that's not the long, like, that doesn't take that long. They run out there quick. It's like a 30-second process. We're doing this. We're not shortening the game. We're saving 15 seconds maximum every time they do that. It's dumb.
There's got to be some kind of geo-tracking then in the football if they're doing this virtual measurement. Is that right?
I don't think so. I think it's just like it's the same thing as the Hawkeye for tennis, right?
Okay.
Like they have cameras who can.
I feel like put the chip in the ball so we can get rid of the, you know, confusion when there's something at the goal line and if the ball broke the plane or not.
Yeah, but you have to. The problem is it's an oblong football, and you would have to, like, you can't just put a chip at the end of it because what if you're holding it the opposite way?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the way.
If
you put a chip in one end, if it crosses on the other end, then it's not going to go. So you'd have to put a chip in both ends. Oh, but what if it crosses at the side? Then you would have to put a chip in like every surface of the ball that could potentially cross the goal line, and then also trust that you have some sort of sensor that can accurately go all the way down the goal line and not be interfered with by the massive humanity that is at the goal line, right? Like, how would, it's not just a sensor on the ball, it would also have to be a sensor like on the field itself. It's just not, it's a very complicated thing. And here's the thing, I would be all for it if we were dumping money into solving that problem. Instead, we're like, oh, let's get rid of the chain gang. Like, get out of here.
Although it does seem pretty obsolete to have, you know, these guys coming out with the chain links to measure.
But it's fun. I like
it. Is it?
It's drama. I want more drama in sports, not less drama, right? It's like the automatic balls and strikes. Like, no, I like it when the head coach gets thrown out of the game and comes out and just angry yells at the umpire from 3 inches away. Like, that's fun. I want that. I don't want to get rid of that.
I don't know. I feel like robo-umps are coming soon enough in baseball.
I know, and I hate it. I hate it. It's one of my strongest takes. Keep the robots out of the sports. Anyway.
No more AI in sports,
right,
please.
Right. It's happening. I know it's going to happen. I'm just going to be an angry, you know, yelling at clouds old man until I have to accept that it's here.
We got tons of sound to get to today for you folks on our WWL Sound Bank that's brought to you by First American Bank. Jeff and I did an interview with Saints corner Alante Taylor. You'll hear that. Also, Jeff sat down with O-line coach Brendan Nugent. Cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry, tight end Jack Stahl, running back Devin Neal, linebacker Pete Werner, offensive lineman Cesar Ruiz, and also Will Clapp. All cuts on that you'll be hearing from in this show. Plus, talking a little LSU Tigers as well, as they are in preseason camp. Glenn West, senior writer at Go247 Sports, will join us at 5:30. Sorry, to get you all the latest on the Bayou Bengals. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be right back after this on WWL.
You must remember this as the podcast dedicated to stories from the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Stories of sex, murder, institutional racism, bad men, sad women, fascist gossip columnists, and much more. Our new season is called The Old Man Is Still Alive, and it's about directors like Alfred Hitchcock and John Ford, who got started in the silent era, but were still making movies in the psychedelic 60s. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We just had the Hall of Fame game, first preseason action of this NFL season last night. And if you want to go to the Saints' first preseason game against Jacksonville Sunday, August 17th in the Superdome, you can score two premium tickets to the game and cheer on the black and golden style. Entering is a breeze. You just got to go to WWL.com/contest for your chance at a pair of tickets. Remember, you can enter once a day, win tickets to the Saints preseason showdown against the Jags from Saints Radio WWL. And that's actually the second preseason game, the first one at home. The first exhibition matchup will be not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. Correct. At the LA Chargers. And pretty soon you'll be getting ready to head out to the West Coast. Practices on Tuesday and then flying out Wednesday.
Yep, SoFi Stadium, my least favorite stadium in the NFL. We go there every year, it seems like. Sometimes twice. We'll be there twice this year.
Yeah, right.
It's coming quick. It's coming quick. We got two practices, then a day off, then one practice, and then we're out there. So, and it's a weird trip too. Like I was talking about the schedule. Like, it's kind of a fascinating decision to go out ahead of the game, practice for a couple days, play the game, and then stay there for like three or four more practices, and then fly home, considering that's a game week. That's a home game week, like you just mentioned. They're playing the Titans. Is that right?
No, they come home to play the Jags.
Jaguars. Right. I feel like they play the Titans every year. But yeah, the Jaguars and then the Broncos to close it out.
Right.
But that'll be almost like a road trip because you'll be coming home from California ahead of that game. So, no, it's going to be a wild couple of weeks.
Looking forward to just getting into that game action. Yesterday's practice, we got a little more of that real live feel because of the work they were putting in. You mentioned the players being all excited, and I think the media was as well, too. You weren't looking down at your clock going, oh, how much is left to this session?
It's the most fun I've had at a practice in several years.
I don't know how long, right?
Right, it was fun. It was genuinely fun. And one of the reasons, and you know, this kind of, we've seen refs at practices before. I have never seen a training camp with refs at every practice. And yeah. You know, like the NFL will send the crews around and you'll have them, and a lot of times they'll sit with the team and like go over points of emphasis for the season, answer any questions if there's confusion over the rules. But that's only for a handful of practices. Kellen has gone around to high school refs and had them come in and ref these practices. And now you'll get some sketchy rule interpretations because the rules at the high school level are very different from the rules at the NFL level. And the players may have some gripes about how things are adjudicated, but I do think that it creates an atmosphere where, you know, especially for the defensive backs, they're held accountable for holding, for pass interference in ways that, like, in normal practices without the refs, it'd be like, that's probably a hold. Maybe you'd have got away with it. Maybe you wouldn't. So there's an accountability level that goes with that. And that's why when, you know, there was that end of the practice sequence where Jake Haener led a 2-minute drill for a touchdown, there was a penalty, a pass interference in the back of the end zone. You had an untimed down. He finds Mason Tipton for the go-ahead touchdown, and it's like pandemonium, right? But that's, I think that's good training. Like, things like that happen. You don't agree. There's a lot of blown calls in the NFL. You have to adjust to it. You have to react to it.
I love when Coach Kellen Moore was asked about it. He goes, it doesn't matter.
Well, it was funny because he was like, we just said that. I'm like, he didn't really say that. But that's what he meant. It was like, it's not about whether the call was right or wrong.
Right.
It's about how the players reacted to it. And I think it's a great sign for the offense that they were able to just lock in, score that touchdown. And it's not a great sign for the defense that they allowed it to get to them. And, you know, it is what it is. But either way, like, the energy at practice and the vibes and everything, like, you don't want to read too much into it, but it does feel like there's a level of energy around this team that's very positive right now.
Another guy that's positive with the black and gold, Alante Taylor, heading into a big season. Looking forward to what he's going to be able to do in this Brandon Staley defense. Jeff and I caught up with him the other day at Saints training camp, so let's hear what Alante Taylor had to say.
Yeah, when we talked to you in the offseason, you talked about, you know, Brandon Staley and how he's going to use you in this role, kind of that Jalen Ramsey kind of vision. Is that kind of what you've experienced over the last couple months as you've gotten into this?
Yeah, I think I'm playing exactly kind of how he played it, which feels good. So super excited about that, though.
Looking at your ramp up before getting here for camp, and things happened, obviously, OTAs, mini camp, but what was your offseason like getting ready?
No, I did a lot of self-scout. I did a lot of old film study on myself and figured out, you know, two or three of my weaknesses that I could have improved on this year. You know, attack those, and I feel like I've been able to work on those first four practices. Definitely gotten better in those areas, and we'll continue to work on those things. And obviously the things that I've already been good at, just keep working at those and keeping those strong. But, you know, with this new role, just kind of knowing my role and knowing the defense feels good to – do. And I think the second thing I did the most was just watch film and just know the playbook.
Yeah, I remember when we talked to you when you first came into the league, you're talking about your eye discipline a lot. You know, and I'm just curious, over the years, is that something that you just have to keep working on, especially in a new scheme, and just how you see certain things as you're operating the defense?
Well, that would be one of the things I attacked this offseason. With this defense, and I don't got to see too much. I think with the old defense, I had to see a whole lot, and I think that's where, like, I kind of had some trouble. With this defense, though, man, I know exactly where to look. I know what I'm looking for. I know exactly what my role is. I know exactly where to be. So that just allows me to just play freely, man, just kind of play my game. And so I appreciate that from Coach Staley, but I think that's what's going to allow me to make a lot of plays this year.
We had an alpha dog leaving the secondary with Tyrann Mathieu retiring, but, you know, you still have a big dog in you leading this team. Do you feel like that leadership role, you need to even amp it up another notch going into this year?
No, I think I'm going to stay true to myself. Tyrann taught me a lot as far as how to be a leader on the field, off the field, here in Louisiana. I think just being myself, and like you said, like alpha dog, I'm already a leader. So I think trying to force it too much would be too much of a leader. I think you got to kind of understand your guys. We got a lot of new guys in the room. So getting to know each player, getting to know, you know, what's their why, what drives them, so that I can lead them in the best way possible. But you know, I'm just going to stay me, stay that hype, man, stay, you know, taking control in the defense. Cause I think that's how our defense rolls, is through the nickel. And I got to make sure I'm ready to, you know, take all the pressure that comes with that. So, yeah.
Yeah, how valuable was that the last couple of years, just being able to learn from Tyrann both on and off the field and just kind of be a sponge next to, you know, a guy like that?
Man, Tyrann's a legend, bro. I think any young guy my age and maybe a little bit younger and a little bit older would have dreamed to play with him. But for me to be able to come in when he comes in back at home anyways, and just knowing what he's done in the past, you know, I was that sponge, kind of listening to everything he told me. But I had a lot of veterans around me, man. And I think, you know, Tyrann was just one of those guys who it kind of hit home because, you know, Marshawn was a leader in the room, but he led in a different way. But then Tyrann being a vocal guy, just like me being a vocal guy, it was easy for me to just kind of, you know, cling toward him and hang out with him off the field and see how he is as a family man and what he does in the community, so that, you know, I can take that role. Not that he won't do it anymore, but me still playing here will allow me to kind of reach out to those different groups and you know, maybe start my own foundation and things like that here in the city.
You mentioned just that with the off the field stuff, you know, giving your time. And I know recently you donated a uniform and some supplies to the Leah Chase School. You mentioned being part of this community. That's something important to you. Part of the almost, I guess, part of the job of being a Saints player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I think the biggest thing when it comes to playing at this level, man, is, you know, giving a lot of kids hope and letting them know that, you know, you can make it from anywhere. For me, it just hits a little bit closer just coming from a small town. And, you know, I know if I was a kid in you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, we would have had a Tennessee Titans player come, you know, my hopes and dreams would have been stronger. So being able to just do that, man, you know, just give back to the kids and just give them something to look forward to. I think I'd be cheating, you know, myself and what God blessed me with if all I did was try to put all my eggs on just being a great football player. So I just try to make sure that, you know, I'd be a great football player, but I'd be a great person off the field as well. Sometimes it can be hard, though, right, kind of getting pulled every way. So you got to be emotionally intelligent, I would say, and just kind of know how much capacity you have within yourself, how much you can give, how much you can't give. But, you know, the biggest thing is just, you know, that want to on the inside of your heart and your mind is the most important thing.
All these new guys didn't get to experience the heat quite like this until today. Is that this kind of felt a little different out there, this temperature?
Yeah, man. I was mic'd up today, and I just kind of said it to the mic. I said, you know, this is what it's all about. Yeah. You know, this is New Orleans. This is what makes the city so strong. You know, just coming out here, and the fans is amazing, man. For them to sit out there and from the beginning of practice to the end, maybe even before then, man. You know, fans were there like 8. So, no, this is just what it is, though. And I think when you get drafted here, you know, you embrace this and you're thankful for it. And I know we'll look forward to going to L.A., but, you know, this is home. This is what we do. And so it was hot, but you got to find a way. And I think we did that today. Kind of hit a little couple guys, right? But getting that first one out the way, I think guys will be ready for tomorrow. You know, once you kind of put the pads on, you start kind of understanding how to hydrate, what to work on, what not to work on, so that you can make it through the practice.
Alante, thanks so much for the time, man. Appreciate you, your game, and everything you bring to this squad. Good luck going forward this season.
Yeah, appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Alante Taylor going into year 4 in black and gold. It seems like just the, you know, year ago that he was drafted, but that's not the case. Interesting season for him last year with the fact that all of a sudden became a factor as a pass rusher.
Well, you know, it's funny because he did and he didn't at the same time. Like, remember,
that was early on.
3 of his, what did he have, 4 sacks?
Right, correct.
3 of them came in the first game of the season. So he had 3 sacks in 1 game and 1 sack in 16 games, right? So there is some level of, I don't think they utilized it
enough.
Because the ability to get to the quarterback is there. And I don't know if they, I kind of feel like they went away from it when it's like, why weren't you using them more often? And I mean, that is in large part because he was playing on the outside for the second half of the season, right? Once Lattimore and Adebo were gone, you don't blitz your outside corners very often. And, you know, and if you do, it's because you're desperate. So, you know, him playing in the slot this year, as I asked him, you know, he's modeling his game after Jalen Ramsey with the Rams, which is it's pretty cool to be able to have a player like that that you can watch in the defense you're playing in and be able to kind of emulate that.
A guy who Brandon Staley also worked with when he was with LA.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Right. He was in that defense. That was kind of his role, the star role, and that's what Alante has been watching a lot of to kind of figure out how he wants to play it. It's going to be interesting to see if the Saints decide to pay Alante this offseason. I think they probably should.
I feel like you need to.
Yeah, the problem is I think they're going to look at it and say, hey, this is how much a slot corner makes, and he's going to be like, well, I'm an outside corner.
I'm more than that, right.
How important am I to your defense? Because I'm playing in the slot because y'all need me to play in the slot because this is an incredibly important piece to this defense. That shouldn't be the reason you don't pay a guy. So we'll see. He's one of the few players, him, Rashid Shaheed, are like the two players I look at that could be, you know, it seems like the Saints try to extend at least one player every offseason prior to the start of the season. A couple of years ago, that was Marshawn Lattimore. Then it was Cesar Ruiz. Last year was Pete Werner. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get something like that done. But again, it's going to be like, well, are you going to pay him at the slot corner rate? Or are you going to pay him at the top corner rate?
Yeah, it's tough with Taylor and Shaheed. Both those players, you feel like the arrow's still going up with those guys.
Well, Shaheed should have no interest in signing something early. If I'm Rashid, I'm betting on myself because I think he's due for a monster year. He's healthy. He knows it. And that guy, like the Saints would be fortunate if he was like, let's get this done early because I don't think, I mean, you'd be crazy to do that.
It could be a question, though, you know, with the quarterback concerns of how good of a year he can really have, though.
I mean, someone's got to catch the ball, man.
Someone's got to.
They're going to throw it. He's going to catch it. I'm excited for him. But no, Alante is going to be a very important piece in this defense. I think the communication, the leadership in the defense is very good. And so I'm hopeful that group can really kind of carry this team throughout what is almost inevitably going to be some struggles on offense.
I definitely hope he does get extended, because you feel like he's one of the leaders.
He does
in
get
that
extended?
Room. I hope he does.
I agree.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We can sound off on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line today. What you up to this Friday, folks? You're going to be going out to practice on Saturday or Sunday to see the black and gold in action. Let us know what you're up to. 504-260-1870. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be back with more after this on WWL.
You must remember, this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Want to let everyone know that as we get into the heart of hurricane season, everybody worries about losing power, and WWL wants to help you ease those concerns. That's why we've teamed up with Craig's Electrical and Generator Service, offering you a chance to win a portable generator. We're talking about a Generac GP6500 portable generator. That's a total value, almost $1,000. You just have to go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win backup power from Craig's Electrical and Generator Service, because when the power goes off, Craig's comes on, and WWL, Louisiana's official emergency management station. There's an emergency going on in Dallas right now, guys. the Cowboys dealing with quite an interesting situation with one of their star defensive players, and Micah Parsons, who's looking to get paid right now, and took to social media today in a long statement basically saying he's looking for a way out of Big D right now, because the negotiations have really gone south there. We heard either a week ago or 2 weeks ago, when Jerry Jones was in the media being public about some not really flattering comments about one of your best guys on defense. And now it's really come to a headway. We saw yesterday with the Washington Commanders, their star receiver and Terry McLaurin's looking to get traded. And now the Dallas Cowboys star and Micah Parsons is looking for a way out. So the NFC East is dealing with some issues. And we were talking about Alante Taylor, you know, looking for that extension. Hopefully we don't get something like this happening with the black and gold going forward.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, it's like we've gotten to a point in the NFL where no one wants to play in the last year of their contract, regardless of what their situation is. And it's, I feel like there's got to be something that can be, like, this is happening way too often. Like, teams just, it's either you extend someone early or you don't even get that final year.
Yeah, you commented about the graphic ESPN was showing.
Well, yeah, so the top three sacks getters for the last, like, 3 years. You have Myles Garrett with 45, Micah Parsons with 44, and then I think Trey Hendrickson also has 44. What do they have in common? All three guys asked for a trade this offseason. Now, Miles got his contract.
He got paid.
So he's still there. They made him the top-paid defensive player in football. But the other two guys, I think Trey showed up to camp, but I don't think he's practicing.
No, he's holding in.
He went from a hold-out to a hold-in,
right,
which
exactly.
Basically the difference is you're not getting fined every day.
50K.
When you're not there.
Right.
Right. So that's the biggest difference is he's not writing those checks every day. But now, I mean, that's where we are in the NFL. And, you know, I do have to wonder if Micah, it can't all be about performance for Micah. It just can't be. Because if it was, he'd be getting that contract and there'd be no question. I have to believe that what goes on off the field with Micah and the podcast and just the drama,
right,
that's created, even like fighting with DeMarc Tank Lawrence, right? Like that happened, and he's so active on, like, the fact that he's tweeting about how he wants a trade, like that's I think that has to be a factor in why you're not committing,
kind of like the CD Deuce factor,
right. And it's like you're creating more problems than just saying, hey, I want a contract. And if a team's going to trying to commit $200 million to you, that's a factor. But he's such a good player that you look past it. Like, I'm sure there are teams out there who are currently getting a trade package put together because he's that talented. Now, a guy like Terry McLaurin, I feel like, is the opposite, where it's like he is that team guy, and suddenly it's like, well, you're not going to pay me. You traded for Debo. Like, what the heck? And now, like, the only thing you hear is he wants a trade request. We didn't see a tweet. Anyway, I don't think the Saints are going to be in on either guy, but
I wouldn't expect that either.
I don't think either guy gets traded. I think it just ends up being a very long, protracted, awkward situation. And then, like every Cowboys contract over the last few years, he ends up getting what he's asking for.
Yeah, McLaurin is also in the last year of his contract. And, you know, I know he's up there in age a little, a 30-year-old receiver, right. But he's looking for that, you know, top dog receiver money. And I think you see what a valuable asset he is to that offense, and you think he'd want to stick around with a guy like Jaden Daniels leading the way. But I also understand him wanting to get paid and cash in, because how many more years does he have left? But you figure, I don't think he's going to get that new deal. I think you're going to have to play out this contract and then hope to get, you know, that big contract in free agency somewhere.
Yeah, I'd be stunned if Washington
Commanders cave, right?
Even consider a trade, right? Because he's going to play. He's the type of player, like, he's going to play. It was kind of like Alvin last year. It reminds me of that situation where Alvin was going to play out that contract. He wasn't going to be happy about it, but he was going to play out that contract. And, you know, there was a point where it was like, okay, this just makes sense. Let's get it done. Right. And I feel like that's what's going to happen with Terry. I would guess the hang up is not necessarily the number. It's probably the years.
Yeah.
Because I think if you can get him, you probably would pay him $30 million as long as the commitment was 2 years. You know, if he's looking for 3-4 years and you're talking like we're going to be committed to this guy in his age 33, 34 season, that's a different story.
Right.
So I would guess that similar to Alvin's deal where he ended up getting that extension and there was a reasonable amount of, you know, the team getting some considerations versus the player getting some consistency and some commitment that, you know, if he gets hurt this year, he's not out in the cold. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
And, you know, going back with Parsons, he's just 26 years old and definitely entering his prime in the NFL. And like you mentioned, I would imagine there's a lot of NFL teams right now in the offices coming up with some kind of package to present with that to Dallas.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of coaches going to GMs being like, I can fix him. I know I can. Get him.
We've seen, I mentioned with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, we've seen him bounce around to a couple of teams now. He's made his way to the Houston Texans this year. We'll see if he lasts more than one season. The talent's never a doubt with him. It's just the attitude and the boisterous outspokenness.
Yeah, there's a good case study to be had in, like, you can be this crazy as long as you're this good, but there's a point where the distraction does not match the production.
Right, and even if you're this
good,
then
you're
like,
gone.
Eh.
And there's a balance that I'm not sure CD Deuce has always struck.
Well, gone right now is us. We're taking a break here on Sports Talk. Be back with even more right after this on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. Looking at something on social media, Jeff, I just saw from a fantasy football website that according to the DVOA rankings, that the Saints have the second best odds of getting the number one pick next year. The Carolina Panthers, the only team ahead of them.
Well, at least people are being honest about the Carolina Panthers in this conversation. No, it's funny because I do think that, like, a lot of the assessment right now is being based on Tyler Shuck doesn't look ready to start at the
NFL
level.
We'll get to a lot more of that next hour with our quarterback takes. Right.
And it's a conversation to be had.
Sure.
But the thing is, if Tyler's not ready to start,
guess what?
He's not going to start. And it's going to be Rattler. And the funny thing is, like, I feel like I've been pleased with how Rattler's looked. And I've been pleased with how the offensive line has looked. I've been pleased with how Alvin Kamara has looked. I've been pleased with how Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed have looked. I've been pleased with how the secondary has played, and Kool-Aid McKinstry is really stepping forward. I have a question on the other side. That's my big concern on the defense. I think the defensive line has been getting after it. I like how Brandon Staley uses pressure in his scheme. So it's just funny because we should be looking at this and saying, hey, I think they might win more games than maybe we thought, because a lot of these things are going well, but the quarterback is struggling, but the quarterback who's not going to play if he's not ready is struggling, and thus we're negative. It doesn't make sense to me.
We'll get more into the QB talk for the Saints when we get back after the top of the hour news break. Stay tuned right here this Friday on WWL Saints Radio. Who dat, folks?
Sex, murder, the magic of the movies. You must remember, this is a podcast about the secret and forgotten histories of 20th century Hollywood. Follow and listen to You Must Remember This on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.